Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at The Gaslight on the Hill, located on Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard in St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, go over there and check it out. It's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar, shares a wall with Cha Cha Chow, so you can come over, have some cold drinks, watch one of your favorite bands record, eat some tacos, and just have a great time. There's all kinds of music going on over there, and a lot of unique recordings and things. It's really something special for St. Louis, and so get out and support them. Check it out. Full listings on GaslightSTL.com. Follow along on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and again, everything GaslightSTL.com. Also want to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. They have a brand new location in the Zach Building over... It used to be the old Plush building, if you may remember that location. So check it out. Go on over there, visit them. They got new records in every Friday. A lot of live in stores and all kinds of things. So yeah, you can shop online 24/7, musicrecordshop.com. Also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this. One.
We are Skyline and Ruins, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Woo!
You sound like your parents made you do that.
Awesome. Pretty much, Uncle Jeff.
Hi, this is Jeff, producer of Skyline and Ruins, and you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
shadows will take your heart, dancing with demons deep in the dark. Where did you go?
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today at Limp Brewery, over here at the Limp Rehearsal Space, so with Skyline and Ruins. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey!
Yay!
yeah, we're actually in the very studio where you guys are currently recording. So that's very exciting, and we're hanging out here. We got Jeff with us also.
Hello, everybody. Jeff with the Temple Recording Studios.
Yeah, but yeah, you guys want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Justin. I play bass. Huzzah!
I'm Jake. Jeff calls me the Juice Man. I play drums.
And I'm Brian. I play guitar and sing.
And what does Jeff call you?
What are the things that you call me? Do I want to put on a podcast?
He calls all of us nephew, though, so that's all that matters.
Isn't that right, Jeff?
Thanks, guys.
Yes. But yeah, man, we're hanging out here. We got some tunes going on in the background. We've been having a good time hanging out, listening to the sweet sounds of Limp Rehearsal Spaces here.
Sometimes not so
sweet. But yeah, we got a huge show coming up Saturday night over at Pops, and that's what we're here to talk about that a little bit. We got some new recordings coming soon. We got a party in the works. We got all kinds of things. So. Well, let's tell them about Saturday night, the February 11th. You guys are currently in the Road to Point Fest finals. Man, there's a stacked bill, man. It's gonna be a party for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. There's a lot of bands that whenever we started off roughly about 2 years ago. We ended up seeing these bills on the shows that we've been playing a little bit, and a lot of these bands have really stood out to us and some of our friends that I just said, hey, we're playing with these guys, and I gave them a clip or a music video, and it really blows us away that we have the opportunity to play in such a big role for us, because these bands, they're not just, you know, somebody you look up on stage, you never see them again. They're out in the crowd, they're really good people, really good musicians, and it's going to be a fun time. This is our third Road to Point Fest that we attempt. And the first two times, it was as a two-piece with me and Jake. And the second time was as a three-piece with me, Jake, and our first bassist. And the third time that we did round one, we made it through with good friends of ours, Nothing Set in Stone. And now that we're in the finals, it's not even just we want to play the main stage or something like that. It's just being able to make it to Point Fest. I mean, me personally, I remember going, you know, like up to Point Fest whenever you're a kid, like 13, 14, you're wearing all black and everything, and you see all these bands, and you're like, I want to be there. And we actually have the chance to do that, and that's really awesome to me. So yeah, to have that chance is really cool.
Yeah. Saturday night over at Pops, 6:30 doors, 7 o'clock show. We got Discrepancies, Monster Eats Manhattan, Nothing Set in Stone, Humans on Display, Punch Out, Super Slag, and Send the Message, and Skyline in Ruins.
Yeah, so baby.
Yeah, man. That's going to be a fun night for sure. If you don't have tickets,
these guys have tickets.
Tickets are $6.
Yeah.
Or 2 for $10. Or, you know, just be real cool and like hand, give us a hug or something.
And you get a free wristband with
wristbands, yeah. We have those for free.
So, yeah, like I said, man, the winner of that advances on to well, I guess I think pretty much everybody is going to advance to Point Fest now after the finals, right? Or something like that.
They pick winners of each finals to go to the grand finals. Yeah. And if you make it to the grand finals, you get to play Point Fest. Okay. And it usually varies. Sometimes they pick 2, 3. Yeah. Just depends on how they feel.
Right. Yeah, but that's, like I say, man, growing up, watching all these bands out there on the pop stage, even in, or the main stage and stuff. I mean, I've always had a great time at the pop stage for the last several years. All my friends up there on stage rocking, and it's always a party. And then so
that new light show that Pops has is on point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, come out and support these guys and show some love on Saturday night.
I know I'm really personally excited about this show because there's a bunch of bands that I'm really good friends with, including the guys in Discrepancies, and just play another show with them is super fun. Like they're always. Thanks, Jeff. But I've played shows with Discrepancy since I was in my former band. Like, I've played several shows with them, with their old and new bass player and drummer, vice versa, whatever you want to consider, everything there. And they're just, I'm really excited to play with another show with them. That's one of my favorite bands on that bill right there, besides us, so.
Yeah, man. Well, let's kind of go back. I want to get to know a little bit more about some of this history. Like I said, kind of covered a little bit. We started as a duo. You said it's only been like 2 years or so?
Yeah, not quite. It's getting there. I think it's 2 years in July. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, started out just me and Brian.
Yeah. You guys known each other for a long time now? Or
no. Okay.
Do you want to tell the story?
I'll tell the story. Okay.
So they're still in the honeymoon.
Yeah.
So I made this account on Grindr. And
no. No. Okay, so. So almost 2 years ago, I was in the market for a band, obviously. So what people usually do is they post stuff on Craigslist or what I did. There's this website called Bandmix, and I actually paid a monthly subscription because I really wanted to be in a band. So I figured other people paying monthly subscriptions would be wanting the same thing. One day I was checking my Bandmix account, and this guy messaged me wanting to be in a band, and that guy just happens to be Brian. And the thing is,
I couldn't send messages. I didn't pay. I messaged you on.
Oh no, that's the thing. Sorry, I messaged Brian him. No. I messaged him on Bandmix, but he couldn't read it because he didn't have a subscription.
Yeah.
So then I also posted stuff on Craigslist. So then he messaged me on Craigslist the very same day.
Within
10 or 15 minutes of me sending the message. Yeah, Lost Encounters, you know. Male looking for male. What M4M is what it says on Craigslist. But basically it's the same thing, just a group of dudes. It's just you play instruments.
Yeah.
Within about 10 or 15 minutes of each other, it was kind of really weird. And then he came over and, you know,
was that Rob?
It's on Craigslist, like Casual Encounters for a reason, so.
This is running too damn long.
I just, I'm just kidding. But yeah, that's how we met. It was just kind of ironic.
For sure. Mm-hmm. I was talking to these dudes, Tree 1-4 Reggae.
I need about a Tree 50.
Yeah.
Work with them too,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Brad.
Yeah, man. Well, they were telling me they kind of met in a similar way, and like they were telling me about Brad brought came over to the basement to join the band, and
Brad's kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, and he apparently I think it was Joe had like a Jimmy Buffett autograph or something like that, and he had it like sitting out. And then apparently Brad put like his tall boy like on that Jimmy Buffett autograph or something like that, and like and left it like a ring. And so he's like, Joe's like, that's it, he's done. You know, like
that's the way to go. Yeah, that's right. The way to go.
Yeah,
you don't do it. Yeah. You just don't do it.
Yeah. So anyway, it was just, I mean, they worked it out, but it was just funny how like, you know, of course the guy comes over and you don't know each other and you gotta try to see how it goes. Yeah.
Well, the thing that was really cool and why it's like, you know, small world or whatever, is that on Band Mix, like I didn't pay the $15, you know, whatever, and it's not just, oh, like a shit ton of people on a list, but there's also featured musicians. Like, it's like, oh, this month we're going to throw this musician up. They've been doing this for a while. We're going to put them on there. The first featured musician was Jake.
Juice Man.
It's because I'm the Juice Man.
So, I was like, oh my God, dude. Like, he's got this cool profile picture. He's got all this stuff of, like, this band he's been in. Like, he's got some experience with networking and in St. Louis and whatever. I'm going to do that. And just for everything to come together to where, like, I basically stalked the dude. Because I needed, like, a band, for real. Like, I haven't made music in, like, three years with another band. And,
creeping me out. I didn't know.
Well, basically, basically, I looked and it said your band name, and I went to the page, and then it said the names of the members, and I was like, all right, well, I'll just shoot him a message, and then he replied within like 5 minutes, and then ever since that, we started writing music and trying to, you know, come together with the different two different styles and try to make it go together as a two piece,
yeah,
without any instrumentals in the background or any tracks or triggers or laptops or nothing, just, you know,
about as raw as you can get, for sure. Yeah.
About as raw as you can get. So that's basically how we started everything.
Kind of like the White Stripes.
Yeah. White Stripes, except we're not married, and I'm the woman, not him. I'll own it.
Were you, did you come into it with having a couple of songs written and stuff, and you guys trying to, like,
yeah,
put these songs together, or
basically, and I'll actually give a shout out to Johnny on this. I started writing music back whenever I was probably 15. I did my first recording, and I grew up with my dad having a studio, and I was just around that all the time, being able to learn how to mix stuff and, you know, run sound and whatever. And I had an ex that put it up enough money for me to record three songs, and it was like 3 hours, three songs, so it was god awful. But I was like, this is, you know, a recording. And then now I went to my buddy who used to be in, he was the lead guitarist for 360 Smile, as a couple years ago, and he's started up a studio and whatnot, and he really helped me out and started recording everything, and the music kind of like latched onto the stuff that he wanted to do. So I was like, all right, I need like a couple songs. And then it just kept going for about a year and a half. Eventually, we got like 12 songs. We put it up on SoundCloud. And once I met Jake, I was like, hey, we have something we can work with here that you can kind of base off of, you know, what we've done and make it your own. And then once we have enough money and a full band going, we can actually get into a studio and, you know, make it our own. So that's basically how we approach that.
Nice, yeah. So you guys are jamming, and you decide you need to add a bass player to kind of round out the sound a little more?
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, pretty much at the beginning. After every show, everybody said they really liked it. It was a good set. All you're really missing is a bassist, like every single time. So we already knew that, obviously. And I don't really know why, but I mean, every musician in the world knows this, but when you're in dire need of a specific instrument in your band, it's completely impossible to find it. So, I mean, looking for a... Yeah. Well, I mean, for... Ever. I don't even know for how long. It was way too long. We were looking for bassists. I was very proactive about it every day for a very, very long time. And then one day, this guy messaged me on Craigslist. Yeah, another close encounter. He was actually a guitarist. He ended up joining the band, blah, blah, blah. He ended up playing bass. He sold all of his guitar equipment and played bass. Really filled out our sound.
But tell him his catch on the message that he sent. He's like, I do this and do this, but I make a... Like, his biggest thing was, I make a mean lasagna.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we were like, screw everything else. He makes a mean lasagna.
I don't even care if you're good at guitar. I just want a lasagna.
We didn't even get the damn lasagna.
Yeah, he never made his lasagna. Ever.
That's straight shit.
Bait and switch, man.
Yeah, bait and switch, but no real bait.
The okie doke down here. The okie doke. Yeah, so then things didn't work out. We wanted to go in different directions. His dedication wasn't there, amongst other things. But then, you know, we played some shows with some other local bands at the time when he was in the band, and then we met Justin at one of those shows. He was playing drums for this band called Shaft. And whenever, you know, he heard that we were looking for a bassist, he just kind of hit us up, and it's... That's just how it happened, I guess.
Yeah.
Jutting here.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
Pretty much at the time, I was on the brink of not knowing what to do musically because the band I was doing bass for, the direction they were going, they weren't even writing songs and beat with beats anymore. They were just playing random noise, and it was bothering me. I was the only one doing any business side for them. And the other one person was controlling the whole band, and it wasn't a direction that worked out. So... I booked the last show I played with Shaft. I booked these guys as the headliner, and we got to talking there, and that's pretty much how the whole thing just kind of fell into place. I was leaving my bands, and they needed a bassist.
Yeah.
I came out for a quote-unquote audition, right. And it just pretty much the second I started, these guys were like, no, this has to happen now, and that's pretty much how it happened.
Yeah, well, very cool.
Basically...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I think we can sum it all up. Skyline and Ruins is a love triangle.
Yeah.
It's a
total love triangle.
You get three sweaty guys in a van. What do you think's gonna happen?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff.
So now we got a lineup, and you guys have been jamming. Now you're looking to get some original tunes out there and get the CP put together. So we're here, like I said, at the studio where you guys are currently wrapping up an EP.
Yeah, five-song
yep.
EP.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've recorded a few times in the past at places. Definitely by far the best experience I've had. He knows what he's doing. He's funny. And, you know, he's... You know.
We did not meet on Craigslist.
We did not meet...
Let me just put that out there.
Yeah, we
just
didn't.
Hiding the fact this was a close encounter.
No, we didn't meet on Craigslist, but you know.
Well, instead of
one day,
even worse, I met him at the Limp Brewery after midnight.
Nah, he's cool, man. He knows what he's doing. The temple with the Limp.
Yeah, man. I you guys gave me a little. Sneak peek at what you're up to, and you mentioned some of the stuff we had previously recorded and things that are on SoundCloud and stuff, and that this definitely seems to be going in a much heavier direction. At least that song I heard quite a bit heavier.
Yeah, much, much heavier.
Thank you.
Sorry, I stepped on the cord.
Thank you, nephew, for that.
You're welcome.
No, that's I'd say that song we showed you is probably our newest song, and that's more of a push in the direction we're trying to go. We're trying to keep in the hardcore pop-punk sound. Most of the stuff that was recorded earlier was more on the alternative side, and we're trying to isolate everything a little more into a single direction so we can kind of isolate our sound a lot better,
mm-hmm.
I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one did you hear?
Above and below.
Yeah.
Okay. That was pretty heavy.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, definitely you can, you know, just kind of feeling it out a little bit. You know, you feel there's a part, towards the end there where you, it seems like that's where the pit's going to get going crazy and stuff. And
yeah, we had one the last time we played it.
You guys in that mosh pit?
Yeah.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, man. Rock and roll shit.
Mosh pit. Hey, Mar, I had my first mosh pit today.
I'm glad that I can help make mosh pits.
Yeah.
That's dope.
I'm hoping to see random videos of people mosh pitting at home to that song.
Well, actually, it wasn't above and below as far as what I'm going to say about, but on Vicious, you can go to YouTube and check out our first live music video, and our guys from Marked by Honor did a pretty good job on that. It was fantastic. That's probably my favorite show so far, as during that show. It was awesome. Everybody was great, and the money went straight to support the family that we knew that has been doing a battle with Lyme's disease, and we did everything we could to help them out. We're glad that they could make that out. But it's
got the medicine too, didn't they?
Yeah, we helped them out with the bills and everything, and we did everything we could with what we had time to do.
Well, pretty much they found an alternate cure for it, yeah. And most of it was covered by insurance. They just didn't have the rest of the money to cover it, which actually everything we raised was just enough to cover everything. So pretty much everything worked out exactly the way it should have.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was one of our favorite shows. Everything.
This is my hoodie, nephew.
As Jeff approaches the door, he starts handing people clothes, claiming it's theirs.
Dude, nephew. Everybody's my nephew in the studio.
Yeah. So like I said, we're wrapping up this EP, and we're working towards a release party. We don't have confirmed yet, but coming soon. So keep an eye out for that. You guys can head over to Skyline and Ruins on Facebook right now, and you can keep up to date there and for the announcements and stuff. So, we're thinking spring here pretty soon, right?
Yeah, we're trying to plan it in early April the best we can. It's just we got to see how things go at this Road to Point Fest first, and then just go from there. It's just one step at a time, sure. But we're doing everything we can to be ready.
Yeah.
Can we talk about drama too on the radio? Is Road to Point Fest rigged? Does anybody know in this room?
I don't know, man. There's definitely been some head scratchers sometimes out there, and
it's almost like watching a baseball game or something.
Yeah, I've been out to several of them, over the last several years they've been doing it, and there's I don't know. I'm not sure what's all involved.
It's safe to say that rock, paper, scissors is on the skeptical side.
Rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, podcast. Rock, paper, scissors.
I'm sorry, man. I just smoked a cigarette earlier.
I'm a little loopy.
He blames it on nicotine.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know what all is involved in, but they...
it's entertaining.
Yeah, but there's definitely some I don't always agree with. So.
There's always some drama. Drama's entertaining. We're on the radio,
Yeah, man.
I mean, whenever we move
I gotta know, too, because I don't get to go out there. I'm always working in the studio. I don't get to see what's going on with the live stuff, so I want to know, I want to know the skinny on it.
The skinny.
Mm-hmm.
What about the fat?
You don't
want to know the fat?
I'd like to cut the fat. Straight to the skinny.
Yeah. So the EP coming soon. You guys, what's after that? You guys looking to maybe hit the road, do some touring or anything? Or
Yes.
Yeah.
But I couldn't really tell you when.
Yeah.
But that's totally the plan for sure.
we're making efforts to try to get out of town, spread our sound out the best we can. But as of right now, all we can say is that after the EP, everything's in the air. We're going to just do what we can, make sure we can make everything work the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
I think to start, we're just going to try to branch out to Springfield, Kansas City, Columbia,
you know, stuff like that, obviously.
Yeah, I talk about it a lot on the show with a lot of bands, you know, there's similar situations, and St. Louis is, you know, ideal for touring out of because you're right in the middle of the map, you know, you can you can hit Chicago, Nashville, Kansas City, or whatever, a lot of bigger markets, you know, in a day drive and make, make a weekend out of it and stuff, so.
You know what they call that in the hood? The Chitlin Circuit.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. There's a name for it.
Yeah.
Back in the 60s and 70s, like, out of this area, when you went and hit all those cities, it was called going on the Chitlin Circuit.
Oh, wait, wait. Uncle Jeff, Uncle Jeff's about to educate you.
I mean, I'm just trying to educate y'all nephews out there. Great Uncle Chuck Berry, you know, he started that type of, him and his people started that, and I liked it. It's nice to see people doing that still.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool.
I,
The Hood 101 by Jeff.
Just so everyone knows, from now on, if you listen to this, you are now Jeff's nephew.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Or niece.
By association.
Or niece.
Yeah. I actually, growing up, I shared a property line with Chuck Berry, so we grew up
He's right a silly next guy, isn't he?
I never met him, but yeah, he you know, it was just kind of crazy knowing I lived next to a a rock and roll Hall of Famer, godfather of rock and roll, man.
That's awesome.
I used to see that dude at the gas at Quick Trip when I was a kid. And one day I was like, Dad, who is that guy? And he was like, man, you don't know who that is? That's Chuck Berry. And I went back home and got the Chuck Berry 12-inch LP out. And the first needle drop was on Chuck Berry, My Ding-a-ling. And I was like, I love Chuck Berry! And I've been all about jamming ever since.
Yeah, jam it out, nephew. Yes. With your ding-a-ling.
My ding-a-ling. What do you play with it? This is how I feel.
So, since we got Jeff here and we got this opportunity, what is you? They were telling me you've done a little bit more hip-hop and stuff in the past, but what is this? What's it like working with these guys doing this? Rock and roll.
It's aight. It's definitely challenging to, you know, have so much going on at once, but similar, I do the tracking and mixing in a similar fashion as I do everything. It's kind of my, I have a process and a sound that I'm going for. It doesn't really matter what genre I'm working with. So I always wanted to do a larger format tracking and mixing, so I built a big ass studio in this warehouse.
Yeah.
And ran a bunch of cables to a bunch of different rooms, and I was renting a room out to these guys, and at first they was aight, and then they started to sound pretty damn good, and I was like, I'm gonna get them in the studio. And we've been working together all the past month, and it sounds really great.
Cool.
But yeah, I have a deep rap history, rap R&B and soul music history before I started working in rock and roll, but I got albums with a few bands from St. Louis coming out, Slushwave, Azur's Shatters, Skyline and Ruins, and some more different types of alternative and experimental music. And I've got a world music album that just came out with a band from Paris, France that we recorded here.
Oh, wow.
So it's not, you know, we're not stuck to one thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool, man. Sounds good.
I was going to say the room that he started with here is the room we rent from him.
Oh, yeah. That was what I built all this out of, was that glass room you guys were in. Yeah. But that's all I could do was record bars, you know. So we were just down there spitting bars.
It's really cool knowing that he put out all these albums from there, and we're now the primary room holders for that, and we're getting ready to push ourselves out there just the same way as most of these artists.
A tiny little piece of my heart broke when the booth came down. It really did. That recorded thousands of rap records.
But you tore it down.
My employees tore it down, and that's when I stopped feeling bad, because I was like, I didn't have shit, and I was recording a bunch of rap records, and nobody probably ever would have thought I would have been recording you guys now in this studio, and I was like, fuck that booth, tear it down. We got a bigger one now.
Yeah.
We got a few bigger ones now.
Yeah, this studio is legit.
Yeah, it's nice. So I wasn't upset about it at all.
Yeah.
But things can happen fast if you work hard, and these guys are hard workers, so I think they're going to do well and go far.
You guys, is this a pretty big collaborative effort between the four of you? I mean, like, when you guys coming in with these songs, are you throwing ideas out to Jeff on how to figure out the sound, or you?
Yeah, he throws ideas to us. Yeah. We throw ideas to him. It's
nice.
It's pretty much like having another member of the band. Whenever he comes in here, he's knows exactly what we're going for.
It's kind of like a mutual constructive criticism where nobody really cares. We just kind of express our feelings and our ideas about it, and then we change it. If there's an idea, it's changed, and if it doesn't sound good, it changes back.
Yeah,
and that's it. It's pretty easy going. I like
it. For sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's especially like with vocals, it's being able to look through the glass and like hear what he's saying, and I'm trying to go at it the way that we've done it for months or a year or whatever, and to just be in a studio to where you're surrounded by I don't know how many bands and walking down the hallways to hear their style of music, and then you still stick to what you do, and then you come in here, and then you have this guy you just met saying, "This sucks ass, try it like this." But then you do it, and it sounds awesome. And yeah, just to have that other head in there to be able to say, "All right, I like the way you're doing it, but it can be better," is it's very humbling, and it's very honest, you know, very awesome to be in a place to where we can have that type of constructive criticism.
Never said that to the Juice Man, my nephew Jake, and I want that to be recorded. And I don't know if I said it to Justin or not, but I definitely said it to Brian.
Yeah. Well, That's right.
I'm the only one that sucks in this band, that's it.
I love you, nephew.
Love you too.
I was going to say, like
you should just have, keep talking about it.
Just get in the mic. Stop it.
Here, Jeff. Here, take
the
mic
for a second.
Why? Yeah, Jeff, keep talking about how good I am.
No, the Juice Man is a pretty on-point drummer. That he could play any of their songs to a click without anybody else playing them, and I was like, damn, that's pretty impressive. And Brian's impressive too, and he's got a different vocal style that I've never recorded or worked with before. It's kind of like very poppy, but he still does a little screamo-ness going on, but he always gets stuck on an Arabic scale. And it's weird, and I like it. Because you know who else does that? Fetty Wap. And I'm a rap producer working with a rock band. And it sounds awesome. And the bass is fat, you know, the kicks hit, but the vocals still cut. And a lot of the St. Louis recordings I hear with rock bands sound like shit. And I don't like that. I want it to sound good. So we spend a lot of time making it sound like any of these bands that are part of a huge record label. I don't want it to leave here until it sounds consistent with what the industry standard is. At the end of the day, I mean, people say, I think a big reason people make lo-fi or say that it doesn't have to be crispy like that is because they just can't do it. But lo-fi is cool. I do that too. I like tape recording and everything else, but it still has to sound good.
Yeah.
And we got them to sound good. As us four, we got it together in here, and it sounds awesome. So I hope people go check it out. We're going to sell it.
Yeah.
You're going to buy it.
We're going to make some money.
Notice he didn't say anything good or bad about me. I'm unappreciated, like always, because I'm the bass player. Yes. No one appreciates the bass player.
He knows his lane.
He said that bass was fat.
The bass
is fat. Yeah, but he didn't say anything good about me. He's like, he's sitting there like, oh, Jake with the click track is amazing.
No, but like when we did Justin's bass, it was just like,
done.
Reamped it. Couple times.
Done.
Okay. Justin was very prepared. It was really cool to see.
Justin was the most prepared, easiest to record.
Yeah.
You were the hardest just because drums are hard to record. It's not easy to properly record a drum.
Yeah.
And I can manipulate singers into doing anything I want. I really can.
To some length.
I have Jedi mind tricks. Yeah. Right.
Oh my god.
He got it.
I was going to say though, like the overall experience with the studio really opened our eyes and what we need to work on and tighten on. So at the end of it, we're going to have really good recordings and we're going to become a tighter band, knowing what aspects we have to work on, what we need to change, and what we have to improve on.
Yeah.
As a whole unit, just musically.
I don't want it to not be challenging either. Like, I don't want to never pitch in on anything. You know, so I'm glad that they let me.
For sure. I've always, I mean, I've obviously done a lot of these, and you talk to them, and it's almost like the, you know, your engineer, producer becomes a fourth, fifth, sixth member of the band, whatever it is, you know. So it has become that. It's nice to hear that collaborative effort where you guys, you know, have that. You can take the criticism, or you can say, hey, you know, we try this idea and everything else. So
they let me put like chops in their music and stuff, which was pretty dope.
Yeah. Well, you're going to be able to hear all of this very soon. We're going to, like I said, we're throwing a party. You're all going to be invited.
Oh, yeah. Everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Bring your grandmothers.
But you can get a
great time.
You can get a little.
Every single one of Jeff's nephews and nieces are allowed.
As they say in Atlanta, me, you, your mama, and your cousin, too.
You can get a little preview of what's to come Saturday night over at Pops in beautiful Sauget, Illinois. Mm,
beautiful Sauget, Illinois.
This time of the year, man, really, you know.
Really nice. Really crisp.
The warm weather really brings out the smell of the urinals in the men's room.
Yeah, I think that's why the winter time is nicer over there. It kind of is crisper. Yeah, I was trying to be nice about it.
So, thank you for crossing that line, Jake. We appreciate it.
Well, you know, that's kind of what it smells like. So,
I want all the listeners to vote Lewis Reed for mayor as well. I wanted my political stance to be heard.
So Saturday, February 11th, come on out. See Skyline and Ruins with Discrepancies, Monster Eats Manhattan, Nothing Set in Stone, Humans on Display, Punch Out, Super Slag, and Send the Message. So that for, what we said, $6?
Six bucks.
Two for ten.
Two for ten.
You got $6, stay your broke ass at home.
Yeah.
For real.
Nephew.
Yeah.
That was good.
Again, keep up online. We got Facebook. We got anything else you... in the YouTube video, he said.
Once we get the EP out and done and mastered and everything, we'll throw it up on SoundCloud. We'll probably put it up on Reverb Nation.
Spotify, iTunes,
all that good stuff. Yeah, definitely.
Zappos, whatever.
We're going to be all up in it.
Yeah.
The internet is going to be our biznatch.
Yeah.
Music videos.
Yeah, man.
That's... Actually, after the EP, we plan on trying to figure out what song we're going to do an actual music video for.
That's going to be the most challenging part. That's the most challenging part of the music. It's not the studio process. It's not anything else besides what do you do with everything after it's done? What do you do after you've played every club in your city? Do you go on the Chitlin circuit and risk it all? We'll find out on the next episode.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was perfect. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah! Live by the ground!
is heaven.